Support for Central Florida Public Media comes from the University of Central Florida, offering their Master's of Science in Data Analytics program. Designed to enhance skills in data analysis and machine learning, the new Artificial Intelligence track offers specialized courses to deepen understanding of AI technologies and their applications. More at ce.ucf.edu/data.
This is Spotlight, Central Florida Public Media's arts, culture, and entertainment segment. I'm Nicole Darden-Creston. The Spotlight is on now. This year's 35th annual Florida Film Festival gets underway at the Enzian Theater with more than 160 movies on offer, originating from around the globe and in our backyard. Among the Central Florida-based filmmakers tapped for the Oscar-qualifying festival are two documentarians looking at larger issues through a local lens and telling stories using very different approaches. Guatemalan-American filmmaker Alex Guerra's film is called My Grandma Still Cleans My Uncle's Room. It's an experimental documentary following Guerra's uncle's journey through the American system as an undocumented immigrant and his experiences of home that live on in his childhood bedroom. Syrian-born Orlando-based Modar Kajo's documentary, his first, is called In God's Hands, and it examines the presence of religion in public shared spaces by following the Osceola County School Board through debates over whether to allow chaplains to volunteer in its schools. Kajo starts the conversation.
Governor DeSantis signed a law that would give opportunity for chaplains to volunteer in schools, like give guidance to students, and it was left to, you know, local school districts to vote on these things. So I was following Osceola County as they were voting on this because they did a number of votes and it got a bit, you know, contentious at points. So there was one school board member who was really pushing for this and I had him on my documentary while most of the other members were kind of against it. So, you know, this is something that dragged on for months and you had, you know, many members of the public who had strong, you know, opinions on this. So it was interesting to follow and to see how was that unfolding.
So you followed this in real time.
I kind of like jumped in. So it was already happening when I started doing the documentary. So by the time I was doing this, I learned about this on the news. I watched local news a lot and I was, you know, reading about this program about how they were a member of the Satanic Temple doing arguments against this. And I thought, well, you know, this is an interesting story. I would like to see how this is going.
And ultimately, in Osceola County, it did not pass.
It did not pass, yes. After many, many tries, there were, I think, maybe like five rounds of votes, and it ultimately it failed to pass.
What is the overarching takeaway for you from being a part of watching those arguments unfold?
You know, I think it gave me kind of a, like, appreciation for civic advocacy to see how people were very passionate, you know, whether you're with or against, because like I watched hours of recorded school board meetings and, you know, it was interesting hearing arguments from both sides. So it kind of gives you appreciation for having that platform for public debate to make policy. That was my main thing that I took out of it. And also, I feel like from what I learned, you know, you would understand why people get kind of, you know, touchy about introducing religious inspired program to schools, because, you know, you would understand how that would affect people from maybe minority religion people. There are so many elements to the story. And one of the main problems with this was kind of like the lack of proper vetting. There's very little background checking. So, and this is where the name of the film come from. One of the people, not in Osceola County, I think it was at Marion County, she said, "We'll just leave it, you know, in God's hands to hope that thing's going to work out." So there's not enough vetting to make sure that you're getting someone who's, you know, at least somewhat qualified to give guidance to students.
Now, Alex, your documentary, it starts from a personal place, but is also universal in that it is a situation that is part of our country's fabric. Can you talk a little bit about the story?
I guess the inspiration was this handmade wallet that my uncle had made while he was in a migrant detention facility, I think about 10 years ago. And that wallet was given to me when he had gone back to Guatemala by my grandmother when she was cleaning out his room. And so I've always had this wallet for, honestly, I'm not even sure how long at this point. And I think last summer when I was in Guatemala and I was shooting, I brought like the Rules of Super 8 and I was just kind of shooting all these, like the area of my grandmother's home and his room. And I got to really thinking about kind of the impressions of him that were in that space 10 years later, even though he hadn't been there in so long. And that got me thinking about the wallet. And I guess, you know, like you said, it's a universal story. And I feel like the wallet itself kind of tells a silent one. You know, I think it's kind of like this unsuspecting wallet. It's made out of like a Hershey's wrapper and a Famous Amos wrapper. And yet I think it's so symbolic of this whole journey. And so, yeah, that I spoke with him about that experience. And in the film, we kind of go over like memory reconstruction is a big part of it. Like, what does he remember from that home 10 years from now? What sort of has been left in his place in those past 10 years? And then also about his experience being in a migrant detention facility, which he was held in for about 3 months, and the way that handmade wallet kind of ties those two sides together.
Let me make sure that I understand. He was held in a migrant facility in the U.S. for 3 months, and then he was sent back to Guatemala. He was deported?
Yeah, after he had been here for 3 months, and he had a case and a lawyer. That's another part of the film as well. But yeah, it was just kind of that experience.
And the room that you're talking about is in Guatemala?
Yes, his childhood room.
So I have one question for both of you and Modar. We will start with you. If someone is watching this documentary in 20 years, in 50 years, what would you want them to take away from watching your documentary about this moment in history?
In many ways, this feels like a critical moment when you're talking about, you know, the protections provided by the First Amendment, for example, both in terms of separation of church and state and also like other areas of public policy in the U.S. So I think people, I mean, depending on how things go 20, 25 years from now, people might wonder, what do people back in this day did to speak out maybe or to keep those protections intact? Because it, as I said, it does feel like we're kind of a turning point. Things are being pushed to the limits in many ways. So I feel, you know, the attitude, I guess, would change based on what the landscape is in 20 years from now. If we go past this turning point and everything is, you know, fine, then I guess people would appreciate all those people who pushed to maintain these constitutional protections, such as, like, you know, separating church and state, which is like the argument that most people who were against having religion in public school were making.
That's an excellent point. I suppose it does depend on the future that we have, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Alex, same question.
You know, on the one hand, I think right now politically we've been past the boiling point with the situation as it pertains to the way that immigration is being enforced in this country. And I think this film has kind of come out around the same time, or is coming out, I guess, around the same time that all this is happening. And I think there is a question of where we're going to be in 20 years just on that subject alone. You know, how is this issue going to be treated 20 years from now? But I think regardless of what direction it goes, I think that, as you kind of mentioned earlier, it's a universal story. And 20 years from now, there will be many, there will still be, you know, millions of people who, you know, immigrate to the U.S., or immigrate anywhere for that matter. And I think that hopefully, you know, since the film is more of a personal, I guess, documentary, and it focuses on one individual, I think people remember that, you know, the immigrants, they're more than just a statistic on a report or a number or, you know, a bill, but they have backgrounds and they come from places. And that the things that we do to enforce immigration in this country affect real people. And I guess that's all you can really, really hope for.
That was Orlando documentary filmmakers Alex Guerra and Modar Kajo discussing their entries in this year's 35th annual Florida Film Festival. I'm Nicole Darden-Creston. Thanks for listening to Spotlight.